This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Sometimes in the Christian life, we can have great expectations for how God will work in our lives. We spend time in Scripture and prayer, and we become convinced that God has great plans for us. But what do we do when God's plans don't meet expectations that we've developed? Well, today, Pastor Sam Horn will conclude a sermon from Daniel chapter 10, titled, "The Unseen War Around Us." Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Fear not, Daniel, this is in verse 12, "For from the first day you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard." Who heard them? God. "Your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." It's stunning, isn't it, that God would hear and answer the words of Daniel? I mean, one of the most beautiful things in the chapter for me is in verse 12. "I came to you, Daniel, because of your words." Here is an angelic warrior fighting for God in a cosmic battle. He is in the heat of the battle, and all of a sudden, God interrupts the battle and dispatches this warrior angel to go and minister to a tired, hurting, confused servant in Babylon. And the reason he does it is because he heard Daniel's words. I mean, folks, do you realize that God hears you when you pray? There is something unusual about prayer, because when you pray out of the kind of heart that Daniel prayed, God hears and God acts. And it shouldn't surprise us, because we are his children. Think about what happens when your son or daughter is deeply wounded or deeply hurt or deeply discouraged, and at their end of their hope, they're at their end of their life, and they say to you, "Dad or Mom, can I just talk?" What do? You listen. And all of a sudden, there's something that comes up in your heart as a mom. There's something that comes up in your heart as a dad, and you want with all of your heart to do something to make it better. And oftentimes we can't. We don't have the ability. We don't have the resources. We just can't. You realize your Heavenly Father's never in that spot? He's never there. When you cry out to God out of the depths of your confusion and your exhaustion and everything else that's going on, when the dreams you had are shattered and the reality that you thought was coming isn't, and you cry out to God, God hears. And his father heart responds. And he's not limited by the lack of resources. He's not limited by the lack of strength. He's not limited by ability. He's not limited by authority. And he sends this angel. But notice also, as Daniel prayed, that the kingdom of darkness opposes and hinders our praying. Look at verse 13. The prince, or the leader of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. We're given some insight into this angelic force and this war that is going on in heaven. And the angel talking to Daniel was engaged in conflict with the opponent, his opponent in the other side of the army, the evil army, and they are related to Persia. And for 21 days, there was opposition, and he couldn't come until Michael, the angel in charge of God's people, came to render him assistance. You know, sometimes sin hinders our prayers. Sometimes our prayers are hindered because of our sin. 2 Peter 3:7 makes this very clear. But sometimes our prayers are hindered because there is spiritual opposition to them. And there were 21 days, three full weeks, where Daniel's prayers were hindered. Now let me stop here for a minute, because I introduced something, and I want to make sure that we kind of put ourselves under the word and we don't go where the word doesn't take us. When we talk about a cosmic battle and spiritual forces, and an angelic warrior over Persia, and another one on God's side fighting with that, and then an angelic archangel over God's people Israel. There are two dangers I want to make sure we avoid. First, I don't want us to go beyond the legitimate stated boundaries of a text like this. And secondly, I don't want us to minimize the reality that is being introduced by a text like this. We are told that there is a mighty conflict, a war, and we are introduced to the fact that that war is going on in a realm we never anticipated, a heavenly realm, a realm that is every bit as real as the realm that you and I live in. And the text makes that clear. In that realm, there are armies arrayed against each other. The word hosts of heaven, the word host is an old English word for army. God has spiritual beings that comprise an army. The devil has spiritual beings that comprise an army. There are angelic armies that are arrayed against each other, and they are engaged in a prolonged spiritual war. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 17 makes this abundantly clear. The focus of that war is on a particular nation, and it's not the United States. It's Israel. Anytime you see this war going on between these two armies, the focus of that war on earth is always Israel. And you can see that in chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Daniel's early visions reveal that all of human history from his day forward is really going to be about four nations and their relationship to Israel: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and the two iterations of Rome. And those four nations are going to be focused in on God's prophetic calendar because of their relationship to Israel. And this text reveals that there are angelic beings, warriors on both sides, who have unusual ability to shape and control the actions and the thoughts of the leaders of those four nations. The Bible reveals that there are angels who are associated with this in this way with Persia and Greece and Babylon and Rome. We see angels delivering during the kingdom of Babylon from the fiery furnace. We see demonic oppression in the kingdom of Rome during Jesus' day. Revelation talks about the intensity of demonic attack and satanic opposition in the final iteration of the Roman kingdom. And so when you see these angels and these armies, they are typically tied to four kingdoms, and the four kingdoms are always doing something to God's nation. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that's all we know. A text like this does not permit me to draw conclusions or inferences beyond the ones that are clearly articulated. For example, there's no biblical warrant for me to believe that every nation today has an angel assigned to it. There's just no biblical warrant for that. You say, well, I've always believed that. Well, there are a lot of things I've always believed that the Scripture has to correct. And so there's no biblical warrant that every nation today has an angel assigned over it. Nor is there a warrant for the idea of territorial spirits. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with Easley, the territorial spirits at it again. I might actually believe that. Greenville, you know, Spartanburg, all these little territorial spirits. Maybe there are demons that are attached to churches. Well, there's no biblical warrant for that. You will note it. Daniel never rebukes the angelic forces of darkness. He never binds Satan. And we know that these forces were present in his time and even in his life because texts like this tell us so. And if Daniel didn't rebuke them and Daniel didn't bind them, you ought to give very serious thought before you presume to do so yourself. What did Daniel do? He prayed. That's exactly what he did. Because he knows that when he prays, and you and I know that when we pray, God hears and God will answer and God's purposes will be accomplished. When will they be accomplished? Look at verse 14. The angel said, I came to you to make you understand what is to happen to your people, that's Israel, in the latter days. For the vision I'm about to give you is for days yet to come, those days. The term latter days occurs 10 times in the Old Testament, and it is theologically loaded. It's one of these sort of phrases that when you read it, it doesn't just mean a future time. It's actually talking about a very particular time in the future, and the time in the future that it refers to is the time when Messiah shows up. And when Messiah shows up in his glory, when he shows up to do the six things we read about in Daniel chapter 9, that's when you know we're in the latter days. And by the way, has Messiah showed up? Answer, yes. He showed up 2,000 years ago, and he accomplished the first stage of those six things. So technically, we're in that period of time called the latter days. And Paul actually talks this way in the New Testament. So when Daniel talks about the latter days, he's talking about the time in human history where Messiah comes. And actually, there's an emphasis in the latter days, not just on his arrival, but in his glorious coming to establish a kingdom. And Daniel is about to find out that all that he has anticipated is going to happen when those days come. Now, who's going to accomplish them? And we've already said it, Messiah. And he actually shows up in our text. Look back at verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted up my eyes, and behold, a man. And then we read the description of the man. He's clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. There's only one other time in the Bible where you have this description, and it's in Revelation chapter 1. And John saw this same man, and we know who John saw. It was Jesus. In the book of Daniel, Jesus shows up. Now, there's a lot of debate about that, and I want you to know that's my opinion. I think it was Jesus. And so here you have Daniel. He sees this vision. The angel says, listen, it's all coming true. It's going to be in the latter days. Jesus, who you just saw, is going to fulfill it. And then Jesus disappears. You don't see him again in the rest of the book. And so that's the third thing I want us to see. Truth is more shattering than we expect. Prayer is more vital than we realize, but truth is more shattering than we expect. I mean, the truth we don't want to hear overwhelms us. We don't want to hear about more conflict. We don't want to hear about more war. We don't want to hear about more opposition coming into our life. We don't want to hear about suffering. I mean, we embrace Messiah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I mean, we have all of these texts, which are all true. But then all of a sudden, we begin to really understand what the Scripture is saying. And the Spirit of God opens our eyes and we begin to realize, oh my word, we are in a war zone. And we're going to be in this war zone until Jesus comes. And truth like that can overwhelm us. It can confuse us, right? Look in verses 4 through 11. Why show Jesus in verses 4 through 11 when he's not going to do anything? I mean, he disappears, and then we're left with these angels, and as wonderful as the angels are, they're nothing compared to Jesus. Give me Jesus before you give me an angel. And here's an angel that's left. I mean, Daniel sees Jesus in this vision, and he realizes the Son of Man is here. And then he disappears. Well, by the way, isn't that exactly what happened to us? The Son of Man appeared. John talks about this, doesn't he? We touched him. We handled him. Thomas says, I put my hand in his side, and I believe. And then he disappeared. And he's been gone for 2,000 years. And we sing about him, and we read about him, and we thank him for our food, and we pray in his name, and we worship and adore him, but he doesn't seem to be present very much in our life. And so we find ourselves with a truth that confuses us, and sometimes it disheartens us. Look at verses 12 through 14. The angel says to Daniel, fear not, Why would you have to say that to a man like Daniel? Fear not. You and I oftentimes find ourselves there. You know, sometimes I think that when we fear, we automatically think that that is an immature Christian's response. Daniel was not an immature Christian. I mean, Daniel had lived an entire life successfully and faithfully and truly before God and before Nebuchadnezzar. He had experienced the enabling power of God. He had experienced the delivering power of God. And by the way, you have too. And here at the end, he is confronted with realities that bring fear to his heart. And by the way, I suspect that there are going to be times in your life, like there are times in my life, when we're going to have that same response. And the reason we fear is because all of a sudden it becomes really clear to us that reality is far more complicated than we ever assumed. And that's the fourth idea. Reality is far more complicated than we ever assumed. I mean, we've been looking in verse 1 about this war. We've been looking in verse 13 about the prince of Persia and Michael and these angelic beings. And then in chapters 20 through 21, we read about this idea that I've got to go back to the battle and the prince of Greece is going to come soon. There's a new empire coming, and all of a sudden, as we begin to interpret and understand all this, reality is a whole lot more complicated than we ever imagined. When you got up this morning, you weren't thinking about a massive war going on. You weren't thinking about that war being fought on two levels. You weren't thinking a bit about angelic beings in a cosmic conflict. You weren't thinking about that. And here you come to church this morning, and you open up Daniel 10, and the Spirit of God says to you, I want to tell you the truth. And the truth is going to dishearten you, and the truth is going to discombobulate you. The truth is going to shake the ground under your feet. And here's the truth you need to know. You thought you were living in a safe zone. You thought you were living in a country that was the best country in the world. And praise God, I actually think that on a personal level. But a truth like this reminds us that actually we live in a war zone. Who wants to live in a war zone? Last week, I had the incredible privilege of watching a documentary on the Free Burma Rangers. If you've never seen that, let me challenge you to watch it. It's about an hour and a half long, and I sat there, and I could hardly talk. Because it shows real people like us going into war zones and rescuing people. I don't live that way. You don't live that way. We get up and we have our safe breakfast. We get out of our safe little bed and we go into our safe little kitchen and we eat our safe little breakfast. We drink our safe little coffee. We get in our safe little car. We go on the dangerous roads and then we get to church. And we have safe, comfortable worship. And all of a sudden, a truth like this just explodes all of that. Truth from God's word helps us to realize reality is very, very different than maybe what we thought. And that brings me to the last thing as we close, and that is this: grace is more available than we believe. Grace is more available than we believe. Look at verses 18 through 19. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. This strength did not come from Daniel. This was not Daniel reading the Old Testament and saying, all right, you know, I got it. It's all right. I'm gonna screw up the strength meter, and I'm going to recharge the strength batteries, and I'm going to get like the little bands that I'm going to put around my wrist that, you know, God can and God rules, and I'm going to flick him every time I feel a little bit of fear, and I got this. This is not coming from Daniel. The strength that Daniel received came from outside of him. It came from this one who had the appearance of a man who touched him. And then he talked to him, and he said, Daniel, listen, you are greatly loved. I know the world around you has been shaken. The ground under your feet has dissolved, but you need to know something that hasn't changed. The God of heaven, who sits on the throne, who rules the kingdoms of men, who knows all of this that is going on, loves you. And brother and sister in Christ, that same God loves you. He knows what's going on. He knows what you're going to hear when you go to the doctor and get the report back on that scan you had. He knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen to the economy after this year's election. He knows that. He knows how that might affect your budget. He knows how that might affect you. He knows what's going to happen to your job. He knows what's going to happen to all the things that you put your hope in. He knows when the ground under your feet is going to cave away. He knows all of that. And if he had a message for you this morning, it would be the same message he gave the angel to give to Daniel. You are deeply loved. You are deeply loved. That grace that communicates God's love also tells us something else. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Shalom. Remember we talked about peace being full-orbed. It's not just like this little greeting that we give. It's the full-orbed blessing of God. May the blessings of Messiah, may the blessings of Jesus, may the blessings of God be yours. Grace is available from God who strengthens us. Isn't that what Paul said? Be strong in the strength which God supplies. And we can take that strength to the bank because we know God loves us and because he has given us peace. Jesus talked about giving us peace. The peace that we have is different than the peace in the world. You know how people in the world have peace? They have peace when their bank account is growing. That's how they get peace. They have peace when everything's the way they want it. They got the right house. Everything's paid off. They've got all things in line, and everything is at peace. And that's not the kind of peace that Daniel received, and that's not the kind of peace that God gave you. God gave you a full-orbed peace that in the world that really matters and in the kingdom that really matters, all is well. All is well. So what are we supposed to do? We do what Daniel did. We keep watching. We keep watching. We keep waiting, patiently enduring, strengthened by confident hope in God's promises. We keep watching. We keep waiting. We keep working. We prioritize our perspective by shaping the reality of our life by the ultimate truth. God rules, and his kingdom matters more. And whatever he chooses to do in the kingdom of me, I know that God loves me. I know that God has given me shalom. And I know that he's using what's going on in the kingdom of me to further the priorities and the purposes of the kingdom that matters most. And you've got to get there. I've got to get there. Keep watching, keep waiting, keep working, and then keep walking. You know what the Christian life is? It is a long walk in the right direction. It is a long walk in the right direction. You got to get up tomorrow and you got to walk. And then you got to get up the next day and you got to walk. And you have no idea what the terrain is going to be like every day. But you do know this. You got to get up every day and you got to walk. And you got to keep walking in the right direction. And the only thing that is going to keep you on that path is what kept Daniel on the path. And that is the bedrock truth. That is the theme of the book of Daniel. God rules, and his kingdom matters.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time. So together, we can grow in grace.